the restorer of broken walls. And I thought, okay, God, I receive that. Is it for me or is it for a specific time? And last Sunday, Daniel preached from very similar lines to where I'm going today. And afterwards, I was astounded at some of the things that God had shared with me that Daniel brought out last week. But I feel God wants to take us a little bit further in that word and in those thoughts. And so last week, God said to me, Isaiah 58, Grace, is where I want you to be. And I read Isaiah 58, and I hadn't prepared anything at that point. But over the week, I said, well, God, if you gave me the confirmation for Daniel's word, what was the purpose of it? And he said, just hold it there, just hold it, and I'll show you when I want you to bring the rest of what I want to say. So I believe that's today. So I'm going from Isaiah 58. I'm reading from the Message Bible. The first three verses the first eight verses are the background to it. And the first three verses, the people of God who are under the law and very religious are saying to God, God, we're calling to you, we're asking you to do things, and you're not listening to us. Have you ever felt you've been there sometimes? Is God listening? And his people were saying, we're busy, busy, busy at worship, and we're studying all about you, and to all appearances, we're in right living with you, and we're law-abiding, and we're God-honouring. And you're not listening to us, God, why not? And so in verse 3, God says, well, here's why. The bottom line is that on your fast days, it's all about profit. You drive your employees much too hard. You fast, but at the same time you bicker and you fight. You fast, but you swing a mean fist. The kind of fasting you do will not get your prayers off the ground. Do you think this is the kind of fast that I'm after? A day to show humility, a day to show off humility, to put on a pious long face and parade around in black. Do you call that fasting? A fast day that I, God, would like? God is saying to them, your motives are all wrong. You're doing it, it's all veneer. It's all show. There's nothing in your heart. There's no repentance in your heart. There's no feeling in your heart. You're still doing the same things that you always did. You're still living your old lifestyle. You're speaking words, but your lifestyle doesn't back it up. And I'm not listening. You know, God says that they were doing everything for profit. And the love of money is the root of all evils. And because they wanted everything was focused on money, everything was based on could they make money out of this, and they were becoming very, very evil people towards others. And God said, that's not lifestyle. And as I was looking at this today, God reminded me in James chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, God tells us the type of lifestyle he wants us to live. And it says here in verse 26, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air, and not only hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from this godless world. He was saying to these people, you're just religious. You've got empty religion and nothing else. That doesn't pass muster with me. I want something from the heart. I want you reaching out and showing love and compassion and grace and mercy to those who have never met me. They're not drawn to you by religion. I was never drawn by religion, but I was drawn when God said to me, I love you, Grace. You're special to me. I've got a plan and a purpose for your life, and I will fulfill it. That's what spoke to me. And in verse 6, he says, this is the kind of fast day that I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, to get rid of exploitation in the workplace, to free the oppressed, to cancel debts. It's not about money. It's about cancelling debts. It's not looking for profit. It's about setting the workers free and the oppressed free. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. And Daniel mentioned that last week about being available to your own families, which is something the religious people were not at that time. You know, God is saying, I don't want words, I want action. I want you reaching out to the community. I want you to reach out to people who don't know me, who've never seen me, not with words, not with religion, but with a heartfelt love and compassion that draws them to the Father. That's what I'm looking for. Action, giving from the heart, not taking from people, but giving to people and giving from your heart, 100% about others and not about yourselves. So he's saying to them, he says, I want you to be sharing your food with the hungry and inviting the homeless people, the lonely people into my house. In other words, get involved and get reaching out, because somebody got involved and reached out to you. Amen? So he's saying, what they've done for you, you need to be now doing for others. And he said, being available to your family, not just your natural family, but this is the spiritual family. And God is saying, I want you available to the spiritual family 24/7. When I ask you, be ready and ready to move. Amen? And this is what really grabbed me. If you do this, the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am, right alongside you, working through you, ministering to those people who don't even know me. And that's what God is wanting us to be doing. He said, I want you to be God-centered, not self-centered. That's what he's looking for. We've got God in us, and he's given us, he's in us, because he wants to use us as vessels to reach out to others who've never known him. Amen. Joan gave me an instance this week. She was, in fact, Joan was feeling down on, was it Wednesday? Tuesday? Was it Tuesday? Was it day after? Was it Bible study night? Yeah. Well, Joan was feeling down, and she, when I got to church, Joan was here. And she was busying herself. She was cleaning up and doing what she could find to do. And she said to me, I'm feeling down, Grace. So she said, I began to talk to myself. And I said, Joan, this is not God. It's time you got up and got out of your four walls and went to God's house and got involved. And so she did just that. And by the time I dropped Joan off at night, we were bubbling and shouting and dancing and whooping and singing. We'd had a wave of a time. And we were on cloud nine, weren't we, Joan? We'd really been blessed. And the Spirit of God working through both of us and working with the others and helping and reaching out to others, we got blessed. And that's the way God works. Yes, back to John Osteen's wife, Dodie Osteen, who apparently, Joan tells me, is still alive. John Osteen was very instrumental when Andrew and I first started walking by faith. We'd never heard much. We'd been in a lot of religion, but we'd never really heard of the faith movement and how faith in what God says and in his word will move mountains, and how real God is and how real this word is. This word in your mouth is as powerful as the word in God's mouth. And God, we really began to see, if we will put into action what God says in His Word, if we'll do what the book says, then we shall see great results. We shall see mighty things happen in our lives. And that was the start of Andrew's ministry. That was the start of opening up a healing ministry and lots of wonderful things that we never thought were possible. But God began to plant seeds in our hearts, and He's saying, are you available? I want you to reach out to others. I'm going to use you. Are you ready? Are you going to say yes? Here I am, Lord, wholly available. And so that was the start. And John Osteen was the man we were listening to a lot on tape. Shows how old he is. There were tapes. And we were listening to these tapes day and night, just feeding and feasting on the Word of God. And we realised that God is still alive, God is still on the throne, and He's doing wonderful things, and He wants to do greater things through you. And so we said yes. And John Osteen's wife, Dodie, both he and Dodie were used very much in healing ministry. And Dodie is still alive, and she at one point had terminal cancer. And they sent her home from hospital because they couldn't do any more for her. And they said, you may as well go home and die. Well, she got home and she felt awful. She did not feel well. She didn't feel like doing anything or getting involved in anything. She just felt like sitting there and bemoaning her lot. But you know, the Spirit of God spoke to her and challenged her. And she decided that she was going to get up, and she was going to go out, and she was going to minister to other people. She was going to pray healing on other people. And that's exactly what she did. Even though she didn't feel like it, even though she felt sick and ill, she got up and she made herself go out and preach and minister healing to other people who were sick. And what happened? She got healed. Amen. God miraculously healed her and set her free from every trace of that cancer. She's still alive today to share testimony of when you sow seed, when you bless others, God blesses you. He says, you refresh others and you yourself will be refreshed. God is saying, step out of the boat. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop being self-centered. It's time to be God-centered. It's time, if God says you can get up and do it, you can get up and do it. And in the name of Jesus, I will get up and do it. I will not be bound by circumstances. I will not be bound by adversity. I will not be bound by restrictions. I will do what God says I can do, because the Spirit of God is working in me. In verse 9, God is saying to the people, if you get rid of unfair practices and quit blaming victims. There's a lot of victims in intake, let me tell you. In the 70 years that I've been alive, I've been in a bubble, a Christian bubble, a protected bubble, and I thought everybody lived in that bubble and that everybody's lives were like my lives. But I look now and I think, God, I was blessed. My parents loved one another. The marriage and home was solid. And God brought us up. We were brought up in the ways of God. And we learnt in Sunday school the stories of Jesus. And I think, God, I was so blessed. And these people have never had anything like that. These people are being brought up in, they're in a generational inherent behaviour. Because what the parents did and what the forefathers did, down the family line, they've never known a secure family. There's so many one-parent families, so many dysfunctional families, you know. But we've got the answer. We've got a God who puts families together, who rebuilds families, who rebuilds lives. And He wants to rebuild the lives of these people around us. He specifically put us in this community where there are hurting, wounded victims. And you can't blame them. They've never seen anything different. They've been brought up in this environment. And to them, it's not strange. It's normal. It's not normal. And we need to share the gospel. We need to reach out in whatever way God shows us to. Because the area is full of rebellion. There's drugs. There's drink. that's breaking lives, destroying lives. And God's saying, I want to reach these people. I love these people. I want to make them whole. And he says, have you got my heart for these people? Have you got my compassion for these people? Will you sacrifice yourself and will you say, God, I'll work for these people. I'll love these people, even though sometimes they don't seem very lovely. But you know, sometimes we don't seem very lovely either to God. But God loves us in our ugliness and he wants to change us. The next line says, and quit gossiping about other people's sins. You know, it's easy to be in the blame game. I think we have just got a culture that is full of blame game. I'm sick of hearing it. It's this politician's fault. It's this politician's fault. It's the Prime Minister's fault. It's this man's fault. And they're going back in time and digging up rubbish. The blame game is just all around us. That's the culture of the time. And it was at this time when Jesus is talking to the Jews, when he's talking to the religious people, he's saying, it's not about the blame game. What did they do when Jesus was speaking out in the community? The Pharisees went and they fetched a woman in who had been caught in adultery. And they brought her, they dragged her in to Jesus. And they said, right, Jesus, she's a sinner, she's a prostitute, she should be stoned. What do you say? And Jesus was silent for a while. And then he said, let him who is without sin throw the first stone. All went quiet. And Jesus just started writing in the dirt. Nobody dare throw a stone because they realised, hey, I'm as guilty as she is. I might not have committed what she's committed, but I'm not without sin. And that's what Jesus was saying. He who is without sin, cast the first stone. There is none of us without sin. We've all done wrong. The Word of God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous person outside of Christ. And so he was saying, quit the blame game. Forgive and forget. Don't blame people. Forgive those people. Don't blame them. They're victims. Love them. Love them into the kingdom. If you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in sunlight. I'll always show you where to go and I'll give you a full life in the emptiest of places. It's not about your circumstances. You might say, well, God, I'm lonely. I can't get out. I can't do anything. This stops me. That stops me. I'm not clever. I can't do anything. I can't, how can I help? How can I possibly do anything? And God is saying, your thinking's wrong. I've put within you the ability to do something. There's a work for Jesus only you can do. Ask me and I'll show you what it is. Ask me and I'll take the restrictions off. I'll open the doors that you thought were impossible. I'll give you the strength to do what I'm calling you to do. I'll give you the ability. I'll give you the know-how. It'll work. Just trust me. There are no restrictions in God. There's no loneliness in God. God says, I don't want you lonely. If you're feeling lonely, you can come down to this place. That there's something that all of us can do. You might say, well, I can't renovate the building. But you can help clean up. You can help. There will be something here that you can do. And you'll be blessed for doing it. If you might not be able to make soups, but hey, how about having a go at baking some buns? How about making some sandwiches? It's all helping the kingdom of God. You know, we've got a freezer in there that's empty. If we don't use them that day, they'll be there for next week. Yeah, I'm really feeling that God is saying we need to start thinking outside of our box. We need to start thinking about ways that we can, in the future, give our abilities, good or not so good, but hey, we can develop, we can learn from one another, and we can be available. God is saying, I'm only asking for availability and a willingness in you to do something, and I'll show you what you can do. He says, I'll give you firm muscles and strong bones. There you are, men. I'll give you firm muscles and strong bones. We laugh, don't we, that it's the 85-year-old and the 70-year-old men that have come and started renovating the building and getting it ready for bringing in the community, to reach out to the community. And it's laughable, but they're all that older generation. But you know, they're full of energy, they're full of strength, they're full of vitality, and they're really enjoying it. People look at Andrew and say, by golly, you're still doing what you were doing at 40, 50. And he is. And I thank God for that. It's a testimony. When God has called you, he equips you. He'll give you the strength to do what he's called you to do. If you want your youth renewing, get up, get out, and get involved. Amen? Praise God. Sorry? That's it. Yeah. What were you saying the other week? Don't use it and you'll lose it. Yeah. God's given you a job to do, and it's only you can do. Praise God. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. And I'm reminded that, you know, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit, a well springing up within us and bursting out, a well of living water coming out from our innermost being. That's what's been happening today as we've been worshipping and praising. That well has been filling up and has been spilling out to others and reaching others. God wants to reach men and women out here in the same way. He wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit, just on fire for God, not ruled by circumstances or the weather, but he wants us to be led and filled with the Spirit of God. Read the Word of God and you'll come out walking on air, because the Spirit of God is in you and is flowing through you and is flowing out of you, and it's infectious, it reaches others and draws and delivers and sets free. He said to Jesus, as Steve spoke the other week, you know, to the woman at the well, he said, I'll give you living water. And that's what Jesus wants to give to these people in intake, living water. He doesn't want them to have religion. It's got to be life, the spiritual life, the life of God, the fullness of the life, overflowing life. Wow. And it's in us to flow out to others. It begins with us. You'll use the old rubble of your past lives to build new. I will rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. Praise God, I've got a husband who can fix anything, and I'm blessed, really blessed. Thank you, Jesus. You'll restore the old ruins. You'll rebuild and you'll renovate. And I love this. You will make the community livable again. Woohoo! That excites me. We're going to make this community, or God is through us, livable again. And the is starting. We can see the shoots appearing. We can see the foundations being rebuilt, the ruins rebuilt, being renovated, getting the building ready, and getting the people who occupy the building ready to show the love of God. You know, God says he will rebuild the foundations from out of your past. God has in the past taken you through experiences for such a time as this. You wonder why you went through some things, but the lessons that you learned, you need to pass on to others that he's going to bring in. He's going to use your skills that he's given to you, that you were able to use freely in the past. He's going to restore your years that the locust has eaten, so you can use those things again to reach out to others. And so God is saying, don't let the past hold you back. Don't live in the past. Get up, get going. Give what God has given you to others. You know, the past, good or bad, it was all for a purpose, for such a time as this. God has been equipping you. Andrew was saying how God called Moses at 40, but it wasn't until he was 80 that God had had him ready to step out. And you know, some of us are not 80 yet, but whatever age you're at, God is saying your whole life has been a preparation for now. Now is the time for ministry. Now is the time, as never before, to reach out to a hurting world that doesn't know God, that doesn't feel anybody loves them, that doesn't know how to live an abundant, free and rejoicing life, who doesn't know God. God says, I want to use you to rebuild the community and make it livable again. The last few verses here, it says, if you watch your step on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honour it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and running there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. God wants to make us soar above everything. But here is another lesson we need to learn. God said, make my day a day of celebration. Give me first place in your life. We've always stood on Matthew 6:33, and it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God says, if I'm at the centre, everything else will come together. You take care of my business, I'll take care of your business. That's the way God works. God says, if you honour my day by refusing to do business as usual, you know, don't make excuses. I know a lot of us, I know the culture has changed, and for many, Sunday is not a day when they is one of their free days, off days, days when they're not at work. Many people have to work on Sundays. But I believe that God wants us, he definitely wants us to be in his house, be it Sunday or Tuesday. And if you can't make Sunday, then let's go for Tuesday. We've had some fantastic Bible studies on a Tuesday. And God has ministered and shown us revelation, and we've gone home, wow, wow, wow. All is, the word is being taught for our learning, and we need to learn and be skilled in the word of God. And sometimes that means sacrifice. But God says, if it means sacrifice, if it means that you've got to swap a shift, or if that's not possible, pray and ask me to make a way where there is no way, for you to be available to be in the house of God as often as possible. God wants you to be here. That's his will. And if you ask, he will make a way where there is no way. He's a God of miracles. And so let's trust him. Let's say, God, I'm available. I'm not going to look at the obstacles. I'm not going to look at the restrictions. I'm just saying, God, I am available. Use me and let me be effective for the kingdom of God. You know, it's the same if you're sick. If you focus on the sickness, you'll go down, down, down. If you focus on God and the answer, you'll go up, up, up. And that's the simple principle, but that's how God works. And God is saying to us today, don't be wrapped up in yourself. Be outward looking. Be prepared. Be available. Follow me. Listen to me. Work with me, and I'll work with you. And you'll know freedom like you've never known before. You will shine in my house. You'll shine in this community. And I'll draw the men and women in. Word will go round.